welcome once again. And all of those who are joining us this morning through the internet, welcome. Well, you know, as a pastor and a minister of God's word, you know, it's a big responsibility to always continually feed the sheep. those weeks go by really quickly. And, you know, to be completely honest, and I like to be honest, because I'm real and so are you, and we have lives. But, you know, there are so many times when we approach the Word of God and we're never really sure that the Word that's coming forth is really, I want it to be fresh off the press. Amen. You want to know what God is speaking. You know, I don't want to just page through a book with sermons and say, okay, this one I haven't done in a while. Let's do this one today. And at the same time, I don't also want to be looking out in the natural and saying, yeah, well, my people need to hear this and that and that. Because sometimes what you think you need to hear is not anything close to what you need to hear. And so, you know, time and time again, I'm confronted with that and I have to question, gee, am I sharing this because of this or that or, you know, and so you have to be careful. And it's been probably over the years, the greatest challenge that I've ever had is that one thing is this really you, Lord? And to have that confidence that the words that I share with us is from the Lord and not from my head or from what's going on around me. But you know that over the years, and it's been 15 years now, time and time again, the Lord brings across my path articles that are written by other very well-known preachers, present-day preachers, and so many times it seems like I'm reading my own sermon. And that happened this week again. I was like, wow. In fact, it happened through an article I read in a magazine and also through a program I watched on television. And I thought, they're preaching my sermons like the last ones that I've done in the last couple of weeks. And I thought, praise God. Because, you know, when the Holy Spirit begins to move, he's not, you know, he's moving on everyone, everybody's heart. And the message for this morning was kind of what I had been thinking on. And I was just, to say it mildly, blown away when I read this message, because even some of the words were the same as what the Lord had laid on my heart. So I'm confident that this week what I speak is really from God's heart. Amen. Now, what I had read and heard was something that I had spoken on or have been speaking on for the last several weeks about how we see ourselves, how we judge ourselves on our performance. And that was one thing that was brought out. And then the other speaker that I listened to was talking about how we can be absolutely sure and confident in the Word of God. And I thought, well, that's exactly what I've been saying. And how very important it is in the body of Christ to completely trust in God's Word at this hour. The Word that I said last week can never fail. It can never pass away. It can never lose its power. God's word is higher. He said in Psalm 138, I have raised my word higher than my own name. So if the word of God fails, that means God has failed. Because God and his word are one. You can't separate God from his word. And he's magnified his name or his word above his name. And the very two things that I've been speaking on, it has to do with the very two things that I say that Satan comes along to deceive us with are the very two things that I was hearing again. What were those two things that Satan used to deceive Adam and Eve with? Number one, their identity. He got them to doubt who they were. Number two, he deceived them when he attacked the identity of God as well. But how he did that was through the word. He made God look like, you know, that's not really what God means. He twisted the word. And those were the two things that I had read this week, that we are being encouraged to number one, know who we are in Christ, and number two, know that God's word is God's word. He says what he means, and he means what he says. When he told Adam and Eve, if you eat of that fruit of that tree, you will surely die. He meant what he said, and he said what he meant. But the devil came along and said, oh, surely, God, that's not what God means. And today we are being deceived as well. We read in the scripture that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And on the other hand, the enemy comes in and says, surely that's not what that means. Look at yourself. That's why I say the first thing is your performance. Look at how you live. Look at what you said. Look at your thoughts. Surely that can't mean what it says it means. And so he twists it to his own advantage to deceive us from believing the truth. And I believe that more than ever, the Lord is dealing with us today to know, number one, who we are in Christ, and to simply take him at his word. It is time. It is time to turn completely in that direction. Last week we saw where I said that you can't mix the two. You cannot mix trusting a little in God and trusting a little in yourself or a little in the world system. It's not going to work. In the end, there is no fruit. Because I'm going to tell you something, because in the days that we're living in right now, we are becoming, the days around us, everything is shaking. Come on, can you agree with me? Everything is being shook up. It doesn't matter if it's the economy, it doesn't matter. I mean, we've got people leaving their countries because of war coming in by the thousands. We've got terrorism going on. I mean, things, we've got global warming. Look outside. The weather is balmy in December. Things are going on around us. It's like, wow, everything is changing. Everything is being shook up. And it has never been more apparent than right now that you and I, in this shaky world, need to be anchored. How do we become anchored? In God's word. And to begin to trust this word with all that we have, our whole hearts. Because the day is coming, and we will see it, I believe we will live to see it, when his word, and only his word, will be our sole source. Right now, we live in a blessed country. We don't have to trust God like some people over in these third world countries who don't know where their next meal is coming from. We only feel we have to trust God when it's something so insurmountable, like it's a life and death situation. Mind you, I guess over there, that is a life and death situation. If they don't have something to eat, they are going to die. We've had it so good here. We haven't learned to trust God with our whole hearts. Why? Because we haven't had to. But the day is coming. We are going to have to trust him with all of our being. We are going to have to be so anchored in the word of God. And we are going to have to know who we are in Christ. Because there is a shaking going on. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12. Now, this isn't me saying this. It's written in scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 26 and 27. If Darren can get that up on the board, says, God says here, yet once more, I am going to shake not only the earth, but I'm going to shake the heavens as well. And verse 27 right after, and this word yet once more signifies the removing of the things that are shaken. The removing of the things that are shaken. Why is this shaking? It tells us right here. Why is there a shaking going on? To remove the things that are shaken as of the things that are made, that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. What is that talking about? What is this shaking all about? What's happening? So according to this verse, what is the reason for this shaking? What is shaking? It clearly says that it is the things that are made that will be shaken. What are these things that are made? Read the scriptures. Ask yourself questions. What is shaking? They are the things that man, in his foolish pride, trusts in. Man in his foolish pride instead of God. So get ready for some shaking in your life. All the things that you are trusting in, is going to be shook up until you got nothing left but God's word. You know why? Because what we trust in is the glory of man. We can't trust in the glory of man because everything's passing away. We just think we got the thing done, and you know, we came up with something great. You know, look at the internet, for example. You know, wow. But look what happened. Now we've got, you know, crazy stuff going on the internet. We've got seminars for people who are hooked to the internet. We've got, like, really, man isn't perfect, and man always has flaws. God is perfect, and his word is perfect. And so there's this shaking going on. And this quotation that the Apostle Paul, I believe he wrote the book of Hebrews, wrote, was actually taken from the book of Haggai, or the prophet Haggai. And in chapter 2 of Haggai, verses 5 to 9, here God said, I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations will come, and I will fill this house no longer with the glory of man, but with the glory of God, saith the Lord of hosts. And the glory of this latter house will be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord. Now, as we continue to read in this chapter, we get a better understanding of what God is shaking back then, what he's referring to when he says this, and why. In verse 11 it says, thus saith the Lord, ask the priests concerning the law. Verse 12, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with the skirt do touch bread, pottage, wine, oil, or any other meat, shall it be holy? And the priests answered, no. Then he says, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And they said, it shall be unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so is this people. So is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. What is God referring to? The works of man being offered instead of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The only way that we can make it. The only sacrifice that was acceptable to God was the sacrifice. So this is talking about our self-righteousness. God is shaking us so that there's nothing left. You remember last week I talked about the wedding and how everybody was invited and how the one man went in and he was thrown out because he didn't have a wedding garment on. You cannot come before God in your self-righteousness. If you could, Jesus wouldn't have had to die for your righteousness. You can't do it. You can't partake in your own clothing. So this passage of scripture is referring to the self-righteousness of man. That's what this shaking is all about. As I said last week, we cannot come before the Lord and partake unless we have on his righteousness. God is shaking everything and is shaking and will shake it. Even the church is being shook, probably more than anything. Because we, for too long, have been dependent on what we do, on our goodness, our prayers, our going to church, our doing all the things. You know what? That's religion. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of that. I want the reality. We're not righteous because of what we do. We're righteous because of what he did. And you and I are in Christ. The Bible teaches us we are the righteousness of God in Christ, apart from anything that you think you have done or will do. It is only by his grace. Righteousness is a gift, and a gift cannot be earned. So what this shaking is all about is for man to come to a recognition. Remember, the Bible says that every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. It's for man to come to realize that all of his glory before God is like a dirty, filthy rag. And to come to the end of ourselves and our own self-righteousness and look to the only true righteousness, which is Jesus Christ, our righteousness. Isaiah chapter 32 says that the work of this righteousness will be peace, and the effect of this righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. We're talking about being assured that the word of God, the assurance and our confidence in God's word. Where do we get that assurance? Through the gift of righteousness. The work and the effect of righteousness is peace, quiet confidence. Think about it. If you still think you have to earn righteousness before a holy God, it doesn't give you peace, because you never know when it's going to be enough. You never know. I mean, who knows the mind of a man or the heart of a man and the stuff that goes on? And continually, it doesn't give us rest. We are continually working, 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 trying to obtain that position before God of righteousness, of acceptance. But when you know it's a gift, and no matter how hard you try to obtain it, it brings rest. I can stop trying. I already am the righteousness of God in Christ. I already am as righteous as I will ever be. You see, when Jesus died and you received Jesus and that sacrifice, you were placed into Christ, into his righteousness. The Bible says now you are in him, and he, by your faith, he lives in you. So not only are you in his righteousness is in you. And when you understand that and really believe it, you can rest. You're not trying. You're not trying to earn anything, trying to deserve anything. That gives us peace, confidence, to know that whatever my prayer is, God's not holding anything back on me because I'm unrighteous or because I have sin or because I wasn't good enough. We're all on the same plane. What does the Bible say? There's not one righteous. No, not one. Of every person that was ever born in this life, not one person was righteous before God. Not one person deserves the grace of God or the mercy. We're all in the same shoes. We're all in the same boat. And so don't be someone who is embarrassed or too proud to admit that. We're all there, right? We can't weigh one with the other and say, well, I'm better than she is. I may not be as bad as, you know, I may not be as good as that one, but I'm sure better than that one. And we begin to compare ourselves with others. And God is thinking, you guys, you're all the same, you know. And like I have said so many times, God's standard of righteousness is Jesus Christ himself. Anything else is going to fail the test. And so it doesn't matter whether you jump this high or this high. You've missed it. You've missed the mark. And so let's quit looking at each other and saying, well, you know, I'm better than you are. No, you're not. We're all the same. And we all need Jesus. We all need to be made righteous because of his love, not because we can earn it. Because I don't know about you, but I can't go there. Because as soon as I try, the minute I get focused on me, the worse it seems it is, the more depressed I am, because I can't be good enough. I mess up. I need his grace, right? I need his mercy every day. And to proclaim that I don't, oh my. That's pride. That's self-righteousness. And that's what God is shaking in the church, big time. So we need to be anchored to the truth in God's word more than ever. Remember last week I said you need to strip off your clothes. What that means simply is strip off your robes of righteousness, what you think is your own righteousness. Strip it off. Take it off. You can't partake with those robes on because it's not good enough. Only Christ is good enough. Take off those robes. Remember the story in the book of Mark chapter 10 with the blind Bartimaeus? He's a blind beggar who's sitting at the side of the road begging for probably food, whatever, he can't work. And then he cries out for mercy. He hears Jesus coming by. He hears the commotion. He's like, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he keeps crying this out. And of course, the people around him are saying, shh, shut up, Bartimaeus. Don't bother the master. And he says, no. And you know, but he's not proud. He's screaming all the louder, Jesus, have mercy on me. And what happens? Verse 49, it says, Jesus stood still. He stopped. The moment we cry out from that position of nothing, the moment we admit we don't see, we can't see, we're blind. You see, too many people, remember Jesus said, you are blind because you said you could see. But he who says he can't see is the one that's going to see. And he was not going to live this way anymore. Jesus, just have mercy on me. Not because I'm good or did anything, just have mercy on me because you are a merciful God. And Jesus, it says Jesus stopped. When you cry out in your life for mercy, it stops Jesus in his tracks. Humility, a humble heart, a casting away of all you think you can do or all you think you deserve, stops the heart of God. And so Jesus calls for him. He commands him to be brought. But I want you to notice in verse 50, here's this blind man. It says, and he, Bartimaeus, casting away what? Say it louder. What did he cast away? His garment. Now, there is no insignificant details in this Bible. Every word has meaning. And we also know that there's a story up front here, but there's a hidden story behind. This is symbolic of what? The word, the name Bartimaeus, what does it mean? Son of uncleanliness. Son of the unclean. So there he was sitting with his robe around him. What does that robe represent? His own self-righteousness. As long as we are sitting in our own robe of self-righteousness, we're sitting in the dark. He was blind. But the moment he discarded his robe and just cried out to Jesus with all of his heart, guess what? He was healed. He was able to see. And it says, then he followed Jesus in the way. Your own robe of self-righteousness will keep you blind. It'll keep you poor. It'll keep you begging. But when we finally stand up and get rid of our own righteousness and by faith receive his, you are going to see and understand. You will have a revelation of Jesus that is going to be, wow, it's going to put you over the top. In this life, you will become the head and not the tail. This is what shows us the truth of who we really are in Christ, so that we can truly follow him in the truth and according to the truth. And the Bible tells us that God's word tells us that we are the righteousness of God by faith. Romans 10:10 says this, for with the heart man believes unto his own righteousness. Not his own, but Jesus' righteousness. You got the picture. But with your heart you believe. And with your mouth, confession of it is made unto salvation, which means deliverance, safety, wholeness, health. I said that already. Prosperity. Salvation is not just being saved from hell and going to heaven. Salvation is a much bigger word. If you look it up in the Greek, this is the Greek word salvation. And so man believeth with his heart. Man does not worketh unto salvation. Man does not go to church to earn salvation. He believes with the heart. And then he confesses it with his mouth. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Every day, you got to remind yourself of that. Every day, you've got to take a look. You know what I told you a couple weeks ago? Every day, you look in the mirror. Every day. And you trust the image of that mirror. You trust what comes back. Dave, you look in the mirror and you say, okay, you know, my hair is a little out of place here today. I'm just teasing. And you trust it. And you pat it up and you wipe your face, put your makeup on, and you trust that what you see is what others see. How can we not more trust the Word of God when we look into the Word of God? That is the truth about who you are And in there it says, Dave, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. If you are in Christ, you are as he is, even in this world. That gives us confidence to trust his word, even in these shaky times. That gives us confidence to know that when we cry out for mercy, I don't care if it's in the area of healing or prosperity, maybe finances is a problem. He hears you. Why? Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ. It gives you the right. Remember last week I said it gives you the right to walk in and partake of all of the promises of God. You see, we've so long been in the church trying to get righteous enough to partake. Oh, I know God does heal. Yes, yes, yes. He can heal, but I'm not sure he's going to heal me. I know he does this, but I don't know if it's for me. Why? Because you're not assured of who you are. Even Jesus had to know who he was. Remember I said the devil attacked his identity. Before he went up into the wilderness for 40 days, what was the Father's words? You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so then he goes up into the wilderness. The first thing the devil said to him, if you really be the Son of God. And he's going to come along and he's going to say to you, Pat, if you really are the righteousness of God, then you will do, then look at yourself. He gets you to get your eyes off of what the mirror has told you you are, what you saw in God's word, and you get onto yourself and you see it doesn't really match what the word of God is saying. But it doesn't matter. You've never really seen your own face in reality either. So how do you know that's what you look like? That mirror could be warped. You might have a mirror that's making your face look too long or too wide. I don't know. But it's like that with God's word. If we can believe the word of others, if you can go to a doctor and they tell you, Kendra, you got 6 months. And then you act accordingly. How much more when we go to the word of God and it says, by whose stripes I am healed. Now, it may not look like you're healed. Just like when you go to the doctor, it may not look like you got 6 months, but you take him at his word. So you begin to make preparation for 6 months, and you begin to speak it out of your mouth. Tell your family. You feel like everybody has a right to know. But with God's word, we read it and we forget it. The Bible even says you look into it, you walk away, and you forget what you saw. But we can take others at their word. Can't we take God at his word? His word that's never going to pass away. The Bible says that God, it's not that God does not lie. It says it is impossible for God to lie. Impossible. It can't happen. We have such a strong assurance. And if the word of God says it, then it is so. I don't care what I see. I don't care. Remember I said last week, don't go by your feelings. Your feelings have nothing to do with it. In the currency of the kingdom of God, faith is your currency. Just like in this world, it's money. Your feelings don't dictate how much money you have. You either have $100 or you don't. And if you have $100, it doesn't matter if you're feeling sad, happy, or excited, that $100 is still $100. And you can go into a store, and you're not going to sit there and say, oh, I just don't feel like it's going to work today. No, you know that, you know, regardless of how you feel about the money, it's still money. Well, that's how faith works. I don't care how you feel. The word of God can't lie. We're not trusting in our feelings and in our emotions. We're trusting in something that is solid, something that is unshakable. It is the anchor. It must become the anchor of our lives. Otherwise, when this shaking goes on, we're going to be shook all up. The word of God has to become your sole source. And you know what? There's almost a relief in that. It's like, whew, am I tired of playing this game? I want the word of God to be my sole source. That's easy. Because the word of God is for anybody to pick up and read. Don't let anybody tell you you can't understand it. When your heart is right and you want to know who God is and you want to know the truth, you start reading it. The Holy Spirit will be your teacher. The Bible even says you have no need that anybody teach you, for my Spirit will show you the truth. When you have a heart that wants to know the truth, don't worry. God is going to reveal that truth to you. But if you're like the scribes and the Pharisees and say, no, we already see. When Jesus came and started preaching the kingdom, and they just shunned him. They shut him down. They shunned him because they already believed they did see. Who are you? You're teaching a whole new gospel, a whole new way here. We're the ones that have the truth. Don't be that way. Always be teachable. Continue to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We never, ever come to a place where we know it all. And if you remain that way, God will continually feed you and help you to grow in understanding of who He really is. So God's word is the truth about who we are. We are in Christ. Now, the free gift of righteousness, you know, some people say, oh, that's a cheap way. That's the easy way. You know, it has nothing to do with us. Because no matter what happens to you, once you receive it, it's like you're, we called it the prison of righteousness. You can't get back out anymore. You're in there forever. Just like when Adam and Eve sinned, they were in a prison of unrighteousness, of darkness. They were in sin. And there was no, they did good things. Don't tell me that down through the years, people didn't do good acts, but that didn't make them righteous because they were in a prison. And it took Jesus Christ to break us out of that prison. And today it is no different. Now we are in a prison of His righteousness. And it doesn't matter. I know we're going to do some bad things in this prison, but we're still in this prison. We can't get out because we're in Christ. It's impossible. No man can pluck you out of the Father's hand, and Jesus Christ is seated at God's right hand. So that gives us an assurance. It gives us peace. You know, I messed up today, but it doesn't matter. I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ, not because of what I've done, because of what He's done. Jesus paid for every sin, even the ones you haven't committed. And He has made you holy and blameless. He paid the price. This is not cheap. In fact, it's priceless, and that's why you can't earn it. You can't put a price on His righteousness. Who can say, well, I can earn it? You know, bless God. I can live the life that I can be that perfect, obedient person. Can you really? That's a slap in the face of God. He knew we couldn't, so He gave everything up. He sent everything He had in Christ. And it's only Christ that is going to be acceptable. So this whole teaching is about your robe. It's about your approach to God. It's how you see yourself. It's how you see how God sees you. Because when Jesus died, you died in Him, Pat. You died. The Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I believe it is, I have died in Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life that I now live, I don't live by myself, but I live by the faith of the Son of God. I am dead in Christ. How many times do we have to die? You're not trying to earn eternal life. You died when Jesus died, the Bible tells us. And when He rose from the dead, He was the firstborn from the dead, and you are the second. Never to die again. You cannot lose your righteousness ever. It's a done deal. Oh, what peace that brings my heart. I can now forgive myself a little bit more. We're not so hard on self, nor am I so hard on you. We're all there. All of us. There's not one of us that's more righteous. The Bible says we've all been given the same measure. We're the same family of God, joined together. And we encourage one another in our righteousness. We don't speak down. We encourage lifting up. Always lift up each other. You are still the righteousness of God in Christ, no matter what. And God still hears you. You are in Christ, never, ever to be taken out. Because He became, the Bible says, He became our unrighteousness. He became flesh that He might become like us. And in dying, we were placed into His death. Why? So we could become like Him. God sees you. And a lot of people find this very offensive. But God sees you just like He sees Jesus. You are as righteous in the eyes of the Father as Jesus is Himself. Has nothing to do with you. Nothing. It's all to do with Him. And you have to remind yourself of that every day. Because that is what gives you the confidence to know when the enemy comes along or you get, say, some thing happens in your life. You get a bill you can't pay. You maybe get a doctor's report that's thrown you for a loop. And what do you say at that moment? Because to understand who you are when you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, is to know that in Christ you are exempt from the curse. Jesus Christ on that cross, the curse came in through sin. Jesus died for our sin, destroying us, delivering us from the curse that sin brought in, which is what? Death. Everything's passing away. Everything's dying. We're not in that curse. In Christ, we are in the blessing. In Christ, we have the victory. That's what righteousness is. It's having the right to have the blessings and the blessedness that Jesus Christ did. Because we're one with him. If your head is blessed, your body's blessed. How can you sever one thing from the other? We are one body, one spirit in Christ. As he is, so are we. Do you think Jesus is suffering any kind of sickness or disease? You think he's suffering from any kind of lack? No, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack for any good thing. And so we got to see that this righteousness gives us that boldness to proclaim his word. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With his mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So there's three things we got to do. Number one, strip. Take off the old man. Strip off that self-righteousness. Admit to yourself, I cannot be righteous. I can't do this anymore. I have to trust completely in you, Jesus, and your righteousness. Then you just believe and you begin to speak. So when the enemy comes along and says, well, not going to be able to pay for that bill this time, how do you react? I am the righteousness of God in Christ, and he has promised that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory, not mine. That is making God your sole source. It's not like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? I can't afford this. I don't know where we're going to get the money from, blah, blah, blah. The doctor gives you a bad report. What do you say? Oh my goodness, better get my affairs in order. Oh my goodness. How am I going to tell my kids? How am I going to tell my wife? No. What do you say at that moment? No, 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 no. That's a curse that I was delivered from because Christ died to deliver me from the curse. But you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And by his stripes, I am healed. Now, it may not look like it at the time. That's what faith is. Faith is trusting the word of God with all of your heart and knowing that word will never break down for you. It will never not be produced. Too many of us walk away because we don't see any results. We don't see anything in the natural. Bless God, his word is not natural. It is supernatural. You need to put pressure. This is what the Lord said to me. You put pressure on that word. Do you put enough pressure on the word? You take hold of it. Bless God, you're not letting it go. Because it's yours. Why? You are righteous. You have the right to that promise. God promised back in Isaiah 53 that all of our infirmities, all of our sickness, all of our diseases, all of our pains, our sores was laid on the cross along with our salvation on to Christ. And then it says, and by whose stripes you were and are healed. That's not just for a certain few. The atonement was made for all. And the Bible says in Isaiah 60, in these last days when it's getting darker and darker, God's saying, arise and shine. Show forth who I really am. After all these years, people trying to become righteous. You know, when you see God working in little pockets here and in little pockets over there, we want to see the glory of God take over. Amen. But God is on the earth in you and I. And it's you and I. He's waiting for us to understand and recognize who we are. Then to stand up, and not through our works, but simply believe what the word says and confess. Confession is made unto health, healing, wholeness, prosperity, whatever it is you need. But take off your robe first, your own robe. Strip yourself. Humble yourself, the Bible says, under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. As long as you think you don't need lifting and you don't need God's grace, you know, people have this funny idea that the grace of God is for the good ones. No! The grace is God's undeserved favor. If you're so good, you don't need his undeserved favor. You've already earned it. No, if you're trying to earn God's favor, that's not grace at all. And you have fallen from the grace of God. No. It's those who receive, the Bible says, Romans 5:17, those of us who receive the free gift, because righteousness is a gift that you must receive, because you see it in the word, you believe it's for you, you confess it with your mouth. Those who receive the free gift, free, shall reign in life through this gift and the abundance of God's undeserved grace. So you see, it matters not what you do. This is not a license to go out and live an ungodly life. In fact, what you believe you are, you act. If you believe, for example, if you believe you're a murderer, you're going to murder. If you really believe you're righteous, you will be righteous. You see, the root of everything that we do and everything we are, it all begins in what you really believe you are. And to change, the Bible says, repent. The kingdom of heaven is that. It's not talking about changing your ways. It's talking about changing your mind about who you think you are, Michelle. If you believe you are holy, you will live holy. That's the truth. So because we believe we are still unrighteous, we're living unrighteous. We're trying to get righteous. No, you have to believe first. And this actually produces the fruit of righteousness. First of all, you got to have the root of righteousness. Then you will see the fruit. Amen? You know, like the Bible says, you're not going to plant a thistle and grow grapes. No, you plant an olive tree, you get olives on it. And so, this is good news. This encourages me that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You know what? The Word of God has your answer. And we can all come boldly into His presence. We can all live bold lives before Him, speaking boldly the Word of God. Why? Because you are now the righteousness of God in Christ. Why? How? Because you went through all these ceremonies? No, you simply believed. You heard the word of God, because that's what the good news of the gospel is. You heard the word, you believed it in your heart, you confessed it with your mouth, and what does the Bible say? You are saved. That's all it is. It's so simple. And remember, we've been talking about how the devil takes something that God has made so simple and makes it so complicated that it leaves most of us out. Religion leaves us out. Did you know that? Religion puts rules, regular, every religion is about what you do. Did you know that? It focuses and emphasizes on what you do. And it all, you're getting to heaven or not, it depends on what you do. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. It tells us that it's all about what He did. And our receiving that and just humbling ourselves. It sets you free. Sets you free to trust God every day in your life, to believe Him for things that you would have never even thought possible, because He is that good. And that's why we looked at that word that the Apostle Paul said, I am afraid lest Satan deceive you, just like he deceived Adam and Eve. How? Through the simplicity that is in the Bible. What does the word simplicity mean? It actually means generosity. Generous bestowal. You see, man doesn't understand. Man can't receive that because they don't get that anywhere in the world. Nobody just gives everything and just keeps on giving. But God does. And because that's how God has set His kingdom up and how He has arranged it for you to receive all of His goodness, we can't even fathom it because we're so used to this world system. The world operates by you do good, Lorelei, and you'll get good. You do bad, you're going to get bad. That's not how God's system works. And so we reject it. We think, no, that just can't be true. God just can't be that good. But like I said before, I have settled it in my own mind a long time ago that I'd rather be someday when I stand before the Lord and give account, because I will give account for the words that I speak to you. I would rather be on the side of saying, He's too good. Because you think God someday is going to look at him and say, well, you know, Hazel, you really made God out, you really made me out to be way better than I am. Is that even possible? I don't think so, because God really is that good. And he really loves you that much. And he really knows that you can't be righteous on your own. And so he's provided it for us. So take what he's given. Put pressure on it this week. Be real about it. Don't let this word just go in one ear and out the other. This is what we need, because there is a shaking going on. And I don't know if you are sleeping or in the dark, but there's a lot of things going on right now that is causing a lot of fear. And the Bible even says there's going to be fear coming upon the people, fear in their hearts for what is coming upon the earth. And, you know, it's not an easy fix. We're calling, you know, we want peace, peace, peace. Is this peace ever going to happen? So we, God's people, remember I said last week, we are the light. There's darkness all around us. Let your light shine. You don't fight darkness with guns and bombs. You fight it with the light. We have something on the inside of us that they don't have. It's confidence. It's a God who will never let us down. It's a God who's going to protect us no matter what. It don't matter. Bring on the darkness. We're the light. Amen? Let's not be afraid of it. But let's use the word. Let's trust the word with all of our hearts. Make it our sole source at all times. And during all of these times of shaking, you will stand anchored strong. You will not have to go through what those around you. What does the Bible say in Psalm 91? Only we are safe in the secret place, and only with our eyes are we going to look up and behold and see the reward of those who don't trust him. And they're going to be shook up. There's going to be a lot of things going on. So bless God. I shared this word to encourage us today. This is an encouraging word, because we don't, no matter where we are or what's going on, we don't ever have to feel like we're overwhelmed and we're going down into the darkness. No. With Christ, in Christ, he's already far above, and so are we. Far above the darkness. We sit together with him in high places. Amen. I'm going to have Lorelei come up here.